Well, as we begin this morning, I want to present to you a scenario, a situation that I think most of us, if not all of us, have experienced in our life. And that is the scenario where you're trying to focus on something. You need to focus on something. It's something vital. It's something important that you need to get done. And all of a sudden, as you're trying to complete that task, there's some noise in the background that begins to distract you from what you're trying to do. I think we've all kind of been in that situation. You're sitting at the dining room table. You have a project for work. You have some work for school. Maybe you're doing your Bible class material. Maybe you're sitting down doing your taxes. Or in my case, doing a sermon. And all of a sudden, as you're trying to focus on the work that's at hand, your neighbor decides at that very moment to bring out his chainsaw and cut down that dead oak that he's had in his backyard for the last 15 years. And as he's a connoisseur of good music, he's listening to Lynyrd Skynyrd in the background as he cuts up that oak tree. And as Ronnie Van Zant said, turn it up, and he did, all the way it would go. And because he wants to make good use of his time, he also wanted to run all the gas out of his weed ear at the same time. And so what became just a minor distraction grew to consume everything that you were thinking about. You wanted to focus on the task at hand. You needed to focus on the task at hand, but that noise that began as a mild irritant grew to it almost consumed you. It was outside of you at one point, but now it's inside of you. It consumed your consciousness. Now, you may have not had that exact scenario. Fact is, it's fictitious. My neighbor wouldn't do that, but we've all been in those situations where we've been distracted from the task at hand. And while that happens in our life here on this earth, I will tell you, I think it happens spiritually as well. That sometimes the noise can distract us from something that we want to do and that we need to do. And so today I want us to look at some advice from God's Word that tells us how we can refocus, if you will, how we can try to escape the distraction of the noise around us. And that advice is taken from the 46th Psalm, in Psalm 46. So if you would, open your Bibles and we're going to read that Psalm together. Psalm 46. The psalmist writes, God is our refuge, God is our strength. He is a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. The world that the psalmist was facing was full of noise. You looked at verse 2, he describes the earth as it's changing, or the mountains quaking, slipping into the heart of the sea. In verse 3, describes the waters as they roar and they foam. He talks about in verse 6, he talks about the idea of the nations being in uproar. In verse 9, he talks about wars that are all around them. Many people believe the context of Psalm 46 was the attitude of the people when Sennacherib came up and besieged the city of Jerusalem during the days of King Hezekiah. And that may be so, but I don't think it's just limited to that one specific context. The noise that the psalmist is talking about are those things that would intrude in our lives, that would plant seeds of doubt, that would flame the fires of anxiousness, it would promote fear, or anything that would cause us to be distracted from our focus, our primary focus, that being God and the promises that He made to us. So the psalmist was being distracted. He was being potentially consumed. So what advice or how does he respond and how should we respond to the noise that's all around us and within us? Well, in verse 10, the psalmist says this, "Cease striving or be still and know that I'm God." That's his advice. That's how he tells us to combat the distraction and the noise all around us. Be still and know that I'm God. But the question maybe we want to ask ourselves, what does it mean to be still? I mean, the original language, the word that's translated into that phrase, be still, means to cease, to relax, to let go, to leave off. And if that is all we knew, we might think the psalmist is telling us just to kind of give up, to capitulate, to give in to the noise, but that's not what he's saying. Do you see in the context of the psalm that there's another component? He says, be still and know that I am God. He says, just take just a moment and stop and realize who you're serving. Realize who's made these promises to you. Realize who is actually the one in control of these things. Be still and know that I am God. And I tell you, this is such a vital piece of information that the psalmist gives us. It's all over Scripture. It's not confined to just Psalm 46. Look with me, if you will, in Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 13. Zechariah says, "Be silent, all mankind, before the Lord, for he has roused himself from his holy dwelling." The idea of being reverential toward God and just stopping to consider that God is acting in the affairs of men. Or we could turn to maybe a more familiar passage in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20, where Habakkuk says this, "But the Lord, he's in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." It's the idea of coming before the Lord in all of his holy array and splendor and being silent. And just thinking that despite all the noise that is around us, he's still on his throne. And that's something we need to just stop at different points in the day or in our life over and over again to be still and know that I'm God. That's the exact advice Elihu gives Job in Job chapter 37 and verse 14. He says, "Listen to this, Job. Stand or stop and consider the wonders of God." Elihu may have come to Job with the wrong attitude. He may come to Job with an air of self-righteousness, but I tell you, a lot of the advice that he gave Job was spot on. Be still and know that I'm God. But I don't know about you. Do you have a hard time being still? I mean, do you have a hard time just stopping with everything that's around you and just stopping for just a moment and reaffixing your gaze on God? Do you find that hard? I do. The fact of the matter is things like fear and doubt and anxiousness and worry and concern, when they begin to plant their seeds in our lives, they grow to bear fruit. They're like a horse that gets the bit in his mouth, and no longer are you being able to direct the way the horse will go. He's the one that's leading you. That's what happens when we allow those things to take root and not stop early on and fix our attention upon God. When those things begin to occur in our lives, the noise begins to distract us, that's when we need to stop. As the psalmist says in Psalm 56 and verse 3, "When I'm afraid, I'm going to stop. And I'm going to put my trust in you." Head them off at the pass, if you will, before it takes control of us. Be still and know that I'm God. That's the advice that he offers. But I think sometimes we don't really see how that can happen in our lives. I mean, yeah, I get that. That's what the psalmist says. Be still and know that I'm God. But how does that effectively work for me? And what I want to do in this lesson, just for the little bit we have remaining, is just give you kind of a practical application of how to stop that cycle of allowing the noise to distract us. And so, here's the way I kind of see it. So, have you ever worried about the work that you're engaged in being useless or empty? Have you ever stopped and said, man, here I am a preacher and I don't know if there's that many out there that want to hear the message of the gospel? Have you ever stopped and said, I just don't think anybody wants to listen, or maybe I'm not effective, or maybe what I'm engaged in, someone else would do it better? And have you ever had those kinds of thoughts, that kind of noise start coming in your head? And how do you combat that? I need to stop. Be still and know that I'm God and know the promises that He makes to me. I'll jump ahead here. Isaiah 55 and verse 11, so will my word be which goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the purpose for which I sent it. I need to stop and reflect upon the God that made that statement and realize that with or without me, He can accomplish His purposes. With or without me, His word can go forth and it can do mighty and wondrous things and accomplish what He purposes. I need to counter those moments of doubt and fear and anxiousness by stopping to consider what God said. Or how about when I feel overwhelmed with the work that I'm engaged in? I mean, have you ever felt that way? I think one of the most common things or reactions people will have when they're encouraged to be evangelistic is, I don't think I can do it. I mean, I don't know all the answers. I don't know if I'll be very good at this. Or maybe I don't talk very well. I stumble, I stutter, I get all caught up. And that kind of noise can get in your head and render you ineffective if you don't stop it at the source. So what do? We stop. We be still and know God. And we think about the promise He made, like in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. What does Paul say there? My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. What does that verse tell us? It doesn't mean that I have to be the strongest or the best or the smartest. It means that God can take a soul that's willing and submits to Him and do mighty things in his weakness. In fact, that's when He can do the greatest things, when I just surrender myself to Him. So it's not about me being the best. It's about Him allowing me to use Him to use me. And what about the future, man? You know, what about my kids? What are they going to do in the future? What's tomorrow going to look like? What's the economy going to look like? What's COVID going to look like in 2021? Well, I mean, all that kind of noise, and it can distract us from what we're to be doing. And so I need to stop, be still, and know God. Think about what He says in like Psalm 32 and verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will advise you with my eye. The point is, I don't care how trite it sounds. When we have those types of noises in our lives that seek to distract us from our focus, we stop and counter them with the promise that God has made and with God Himself. We can't escape the noise. It's all around us. We turn on the television. We walk out our front door. Even within our households, there's all kinds of things that want to intrude in our lives and want to plant seeds. And if we allow them to consume us, they start leading our lives instead of us being in control. And the psalmist says we counter that by just stopping, being still, and thinking, knowing that God, who God is, and the promises that He's made. That's the lesson. That's the thoughts I wanted to share with you this morning. And if it's true, I pray God gets the glory, and I hope it's beneficial to each one that is here. Before we leave this place, this time together, we're going to sing a song that reminds us of the salvation that God has offered. The salvation that He has made possible through His Son, Jesus Christ. If the gospel has an answer for you in your life at this moment in time, please come forward. We'd love to tell you more about Jesus. We'd love to help you, pray for you if you have sin in your life and you're trying to overcome those things. We want to just be here for you to bring greater glory to God and help you draw closer to Him. If you have a need this morning that the gospel will answer, please come as we stand and as we sing.